Now, verse 8, yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when ye shall be scattered through the countries. And God had some people that were faithful to him among these people. Not the nation as such went away from God, but among those. And that's true of the church. Liberalism has taken over the bulk of the organized church today. But, oh, there are a lot of God's people left. God takes note of that here. Now he says, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations to which they shall be carried captives. What are they going to be? A witness for God. Now God says, because I am broken with their adulterous heart, which hath departed from me. This, by the way, is rather an unfortunate translation. I think the better translation is in the literal, when I shall have broken their whorish heart, which has departed from me. I think if you read it like that, it makes much more sense. And he speaks of that as being that they are playing the harlot. They belong to him. And that's spiritual adultery. And you see, after God removes the true church down here, the church continues on as an organization. And it's called a harlot. That's in the 17th of Revelation. In my book, that's the most frightful chapter there is in the Word of God. It's a terrible picture. Now, God says, one of the things that's going to happen is, verse 9 now, the last part, they shall loathe themselves for the evil which they've committed in their abominations. That's one result. And the interesting thing is, that result is not happening today. You know what it means? More judgment. God does that. In the Great Tribulation period, you would think, well, the people will gnaw their tongues because of the judgment. You think there'd be a great wave of repentance, but there's not. Not on that crowd. And in that day, there was. You see, they're still close enough to God that they loathe themselves. Now, I read a letter about a young man. He was brought up in a godly home. He turned his back on it, went out. Now he hates himself for serving the devil. That'll be true of God's people always. And if it doesn't have that effect upon you, you must not have been one of God's people. Now, will you notice, verse 10, and they shall know that I'm the Lord. That's said three times in this chapter now. And that'll be one of the results. Now, today, isn't it interesting? The second result has not been accomplished. Instead of recognizing the hand of God, they say, he's not even out there. If he'd been out there, he'd come over and helped us. Oh, my friend, where'd you get that idea? God is judging sin. I wonder why I can't get that over today. I wonder why I can't make that clear today. People rebel against it. They don't like it. We don't want a God that judges. Well, my friend, you can make a God after your own likeness if you want to, but the Holy God is still out there. And you'd like to say, I wish he'd go away, but he's not going to go away. He's going to continue to judge. He says, and they shall know that I'm the Lord. Now, if you drop down in this chapter, verse 13, then shall ye know that I'm the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars. Now, I happen to know that the persecution of Hitler drove many wonderful Jews to God. There are a great company of believers today in Europe, by the way, as a result of that. We forget about those, of course, and very little is said about them. I have a wonderful letter from one of them, saved. Her parents expired. They died in those gas chambers. And it was the means of her salvation. Oh, my friend today, to not recognize the hand of God whether you like it or not. And our God's a holy God. Now, if God didn't spare his own son and let him die when he became sin for us, why in the world do sinners think they're going to escape? God has attempted to make that true. And he says to them here, upon every high hill in all the tops of the mountains and under every green tree and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. God spells it out. This is the reason he's judging them in the land. And friends, the judgment of God is still upon that land. I just don't buy the viewpoint of these people who go to Israel. And I've been over there now with three different groups. And I want to say they become ecstatic. That is some people. Oh, isn't this the land of milk and honey? Don't kid yourself. It's not the land of milk and honey today at all. The judgment of God is still on that land, and there's no turning to him today. Now he says, so will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah. Well, I don't know how the wilderness toward Diblah lives, but I know how it is right now from Jerusalem down to Jericho. I'm not interested in buying real estate there. And if it wasn't for the protection, I think Israel would be willing to turn it back to the Arabs and let them have it. But it makes a tremendous buffer of protection for them, and I personally don't blame them for not turning it over to them. This little nation must have protection. It's survival for them. Now he says, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I'm the Lord. This is tremendous.